Some of us have struggles at different points in our lives. I think most of us could testify to that. I don't think anybody here goes sailing through life without a struggle here and there. And it's those struggles that mold and shape us into his image if we allow them. So I want to read out of John here in chapter 17. I'm just going to read over the chapter. So we can understand what's all there, and then we'll go through some of the things in there. John chapter 17. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know the only true God, Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self and with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested the name unto them which thou givest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them to me, and they have kept the word. And now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out of thee, and have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. All mine are thine, and thine are mine. I am glorified in them. And now I no more am in the world, but these are in the world. I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those which thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these I speak in the world, that they might have joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent unto me, has sent me into the world, even so I have also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, and they also be one in us, that the world may believe thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and the world may know that thou hast sent me, and thou hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that I may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovedest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, and love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. So at first glance, if we just read over that chapter, it can seem like, you know, if you're not really paying attention, it can almost seem like some gibberish in there. But I know that's what it was. Maybe I'm just unique in that. Probably the first 15 times or so I read over that chapter in my life and never really stood out to me. But there came a point in my life where every single one of those words just really, really started to stick out. The amount of information that is in that chapter, there's enough there to encourage you, to strengthen you, to, if you have any question on the deity of Christ, it's in there. If you have any question on whether or not Christ called himself the Son of God, it's in there. A lot of those questions that we might have when we're trying to witness to different people groups, different religions, are answered in that chapter, if we just take the time and look at them and have an open heart to read them. And I just, today, I'm not doing a verse-by-verse Bible study here, but I do want to go through some of it and just draw out some of the things that God has for us in this. And the first thing is I just want to look at this prayer that Christ prayed. And it's pretty amazing. It's pretty amazing that a man who just a few hours later was begging God that everything he just prayed there would be taken away from him. And how often does that happen in our lives? You know, we can have that time in our life where it just seems like life is good, everything's going good, you know, we can lift up our hands and everything, and a few hours later, it's totally different. Our feelings and our emotions, the things going on in our lives. And you know, sometimes there's genuine big things that happen that change those things. But as I talk about this chapter here, I really want us to see the humanity of Christ. And when Christ says that, you know, I'm paraphrasing here, he says, I know how you feel. We can take that for real. A lot of times, I think what we do is we take Christ and we put him on this pedestal and we say, we're living our life here and Christ is living our lives here, and we just go through life as these two separate things. And that's not what Christ wants. Christ wants to be together. In all points, like as he was tempted, like as we are. If you're going through life right now and you think there's nobody that knows how you feel or knows the pain that you're in or you're suffering or anything like that, Jesus does. He was there too. This very fact here shows the humanity of his life. He prayed this prayer. He was strengthened, he was encouraged, he was motivated, he spoke truth, he spoke it boldly. And then a few hours later, okay, if I go to John chapter 19 here, he says, and when Jesus had spoken, starting verse 1, when Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Cedron, where was a garden, into which he entered with his disciples. Judas also, which betrayed him, knew of this place. So he went right from there. He went to the garden where he was captured. And if we want to know, I don't know how much time transpired, but I don't think it was more than maybe an hour or two. If we go to Luke chapter 22. Starting in verse 41, it says, and he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. That's interesting. It's only a few hours, but such a change. And if we continue reading, he says, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared unto him an angel, or there appeared an angel unto him from heaven and strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples and found them sleeping for sorrow. So as we look at this, as we look at Jesus, okay, can we see how human he was? Yes, he was the Son of God. But he was every bit as flesh as we are. He knew what it was like to suffer. He knew what it was like to struggle. He knew what it was like to have such a burden, so much more than I think we will ever know, to have such a burden on our shoulders that you just feel like it's going to crush you and that you can't survive. And I think my own testimony. Sometimes I don't even like to share, but I think it's good for everyone to know. You know, you can look at, I'm just going to pick on myself and on John Entz. You can look at us come up here and share the word of God and not think much of it. But, you know, we have those same emotions. According to my flesh, the last place I wanted to be this morning was standing up here telling you about how great Jesus was. I had a pretty hard week. But I'm not going to stand up here and tell you about all of my problems and how bad everything was. Because I'm here to tell you that Jesus can help you with all those things. And it's because of that that I can stand up here and tell you that. Did I do everything perfect last week? No. Was I overcome and discouraged? Yeah. But Jesus works. Right? He works. It's because of him that I can be up here, that I can share the word of God. I can share it in confidence, not because of something that I've attained to, not because I prayed the perfect prayer, I read the right amount of scriptures, I did this all right and everything and all that. It's not because of that. It's because I took the word of God and said, you know what, this is for me. Because Jesus loves me that much. And to be perfectly honest with you, I'm no better and no more valuable than any of you are. So you can do that too. And I just, this it's this chapter that I go to because it encourages me. And one of the parts that I find the most encouraging is where he says, I'm just going all over the place here this morning. I'm not following my notes at all. In verse 20 here he says, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. And who is that? That's right. That's us. And if that doesn't encourage you, there's nothing in Christ that can. Jesus personally prayed for you. Isaac Wall, Jesus personally prayed for you, brother. Do you believe that? Yes? Does that change your life? Or does that truth change your life? The acknowledgement of that truth, does that change your life? It's kind of hard to make it a reality, isn't it? Because we seem to be, we always seem to think that there has to be, you know, we're not worthy of that. And a lot of that, I think, comes from a struggle that I had early on in my life. And it's something that took a long time for God to work with me. Oh, this thing is backwards. I'm backwards. Can you all, everybody can see that? Yeah? It says a line in it. That's perfect. That's exactly what I want. So right here, there's a line in this chalkboard. And early in my life, I can just remember once I had an old man talk to me. He was saved. At least he professed he was saved. As I grew in my faith, I started questioning it more and more. But he said, life is like, it's like this. It's like there's a line right here. And right here, we have heaven. And right here, we have hell. And he says, I want to be right here. So that's my goal in life. Does anybody get any alarm bells going off when somebody would say something like that? You can all see this line in here, right? He says, that's my goal. All I need to do is be right here and I'm good. Like, buddy, just call cooperators. They'll give you a fire insurance. That's all you're obviously interested in. And if sometimes, like, I did this subconsciously. I would live my life, and I would say, okay, if I do this, is it going to fit in here, or is it going to fit in here? And just to make it practical for this morning, let's put something in here. Let's put something in these groups. And I'm not even going to put the controversial ones in there. I'm just going to go right to, Galatians here. So, it says here in Galatians chapter 5, I'm not going to read through the chapter, I think we all know this. Okay, so it talks about the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. Okay, so one of the works of the flesh is envyings. How do you spell that? Anyways, I'm not a good speller. Anyways, I think we all agree this belongs on this line. Does anybody here disagree? Perfect. But how many of us take it seriously? Yeah? Sorry? No, I was letting you chew. Right? How many of us take it seriously? How many of us take envy? If you have envy in your heart, you're not going here. Okay? It says right in there, you're not going to heaven if you have envy in your heart. Do you take that seriously? How about murder? Oh, we're all good with that one. Right? None of us are a murderer. No way. Okay, well, I just want to read something here. Let's go to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verse 21. It says, ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill. But whosoever shall kill, shall be in danger of judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without cause shall be in danger of judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of counsel. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. That's the murder he's talking about. He's not talking about killing someone physically so they don't consume any more oxygen. How many of us take that seriously? Right? See, we put those things in there. We all agree these belong on this side. But do we take them seriously? And then life happens and all of a sudden, and well, we can put a whole bunch of stuff in here, but now I got another one for you now. How about a white minivan? Which side of the line does it belong on? Right. Uh-huh. But can a white minivan keep you out of heaven? Yeah, sure can. That's right. If it becomes an idol. If God tells you not to get one and you do it anyway. Why God would tell you not to get a white minivan, I got no idea. There's obviously some problem in your heart. Okay, but do you see what I'm saying? That white minivan can go on either side of that line. And I picked a really kind of weird one. But just to show you that when it comes to things like this, that's where we really struggle. A lot of times we take this more seriously than this. But it's these things, especially this one, that cause this. And what we do is we take this little line here, and we do the thing, you ever, those old things that you fold open, you know, like the people call them newspapers? Everybody knows what they are. You ever catch yourself, you look at an ad there and you're like, you click on it? I've done it. Those smartphones got us trained real well. Smartphones make dumb people. Okay. So we sit here, we take this line and we zoom in on it. Oh, we just zoom and zoom and zoom. And pretty soon this line becomes just this big tattered things of all these different things, it just because they're blotches of ink, and then I think that word is right in there. I think, yeah, I can do that. There's nothing wrong with that. And you know what Jesus says? Jesus says, forget it. I don't want you thinking that way. Jesus wants you to put all that away. Not that those things aren't important, but if that's where our life is at, we need to reevaluate where our heart's at. That's not supposed to be our focus. Our focus is supposed to be on the condition of our heart before the Lord. And you know, there's some things that can be sin for some people and not for other people. And if you don't understand that, you really need to dig into the scriptures and understand the heart of God. You know, it's... Sorry, I'm not really referencing any of the verses that bring out any of these thoughts in me. But... there was a few years in my life early on in my Christian faith where, and every time I would open the scriptures and I would read in the New Testament, it was dry, and it was almost like it was like God left the building. And when I would read in the Old Testament, it was beautiful. It was absolutely amazing. I got so much out of it. Those books like Deuteronomy and Leviticus and Numbers, they were beautiful. All the different stories of the Bible, they were absolutely beautiful. And it was a period that lasted about 5 years. But in those 5 years, and I only saw this later, in those 5 years, I really, reading through the Old Testament multiple times, I really became to understand the heart of God. And why we needed Jesus Christ. See, God can't look upon sin. And without Jesus, that's what we are. And that's why they had judges and all these people. The people, the Israelites, they feared the Lord so much, they didn't even want to see God. They just said to Moses, you go do it. And you just come tell us what he says. So as God, and it's interesting, God hasn't changed. That's still the same God. But what has changed is Jesus. We don't go and do sacrifices anymore. We don't have the shoulder heave offering and all these different things. Like, think about it. That would be so much work. But Christ came and gave that perfect sacrifice. By one man, sin entered into the world, and by one man, we are all redeemed. That's the gospel. That's the reason that Jesus came. To give us all those things, to give us that freedom that we don't have to do those sin offerings anymore. And there are so many different religions, so many different, even a lot of places that call themselves Christians. You know, they seem to want to add a few things here and there. But, oh, you got to do this. And you got to do that. And then there's the complete opposite. There's people out there that believe they were freed. They don't need to, you know what, I'm free. Jesus paid it all. I'm free. I've been liberated. You know, each one of your sins takes the blood of Christ. If you were perfect, had nothing in your life that we as people could call sin, without Jesus, could you go to heaven? Why not? He is the way, that's right. But it's because we're the descendants of Adam. It wasn't our fault. Can we just blame it on Adam? Adam blamed it on his wife and God in the same sentence. That's pretty talented in my opinion. But God, which doesn't change, couldn't look at us because we were tainted. Even if we were perfect, we were tainted. That's why Jesus had to come. That's why Jesus was necessary. And it's because of Jesus that we can now boldly stand before the throne. And Jesus, when he was here on earth, he had all the different emotions to contend with. He didn't get a free ride because he was the Son of God. You know, when we look at verse 4 here, it says, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. There was a purpose for Jesus' life. And he lived it out. And if we look at John 6:15, it says in there that they were going to take him by force and make him king because he had fed them. And what did Jesus do? He ran away from that. He departed. Well, how is it with us when we have sin in our life? Do we depart? Do we run away from it? Jesus didn't stick around and say, you know what? I got a great opportunity here. These people want me to be king. I can do both. I can do what God wants me to do, and I can be king because it'll give me so much better of an opportunity to minister to these people and to tell them exactly what God wants. Sounds perfectly rational in my mind. Amen? But Jesus said, no, this isn't what God wants. He didn't question why God told him no. He just said, okay, I'm out of here. So how is it with us? Do we reason through in our mind, I can do this, I can do that. This will be good for that, this will be good for that. Makes sense. But God says no. And you're like, wow, I don't know. I think I can. But do we see how that relationship with God is what's required? You have to know. You have to understand. You have to be willing to make Jesus Lord in your life. If Jesus is your Lord, that means you don't question what he asks of you. And you might be thinking, okay, well, that doesn't really make sense. If we understand the Word of God, which he, in multiple times in chapter 17 here, he references the Word and that he has given it. And the disciples, to the best of their knowledge, they understood. The disciples understood that he was the Son of God. It says so right there. The disciples were ready, willing, and able to move forward in that. Now, they had lots of other things that they had to contend with. Obviously, we understand that a lot of them, in the beginning at least anyway, they thought this was going to be an earthly reign that Jesus was going to have. And sometimes we live our lives in that way, that it's the outside material things, like that white minivan, that become so big that we don't realize it's because there's a more grievous sin that will actually send you to hell, why that's there. Now, some of you might listen to that and say, oh, well, then this isn't important, that isn't important, that isn't important, that isn't important, and everything. And I'm like, you know what? If that's what you feel through your knowledge of the Scriptures and through what God is telling you to do in your life, if you came to that conclusion based on that, then maybe it's true. But how much of those thoughts are based on your emotions and your desire to do something you want to do? The kingdom of heaven that the Bible talks about in all the parables of Jesus, that's inside your heart. And if God is asking us to do something, if Jesus is Lord, we will obey. I think about what Jason preached two Sundays ago. Who's on the throne? And a lot of times, that's we get this mentality that, you know, we want to do what's right, but it still just isn't quite exactly what God wants. And we look at James and John. I don't know, in this situation there where the mother of James and John came and said to Jesus, "I would that my son would sit one on their right hand and one on the left." And Jesus says, "You don't know what you're asking." Do we have that understanding? Do we understand that to be at Christ's side, it's going to cost us something? We don't get to live our lives the way that we want to. We have to live our lives yielded to Christ, to glorify Him. The things that we do will glorify Him. If you're living a life where you're so choked out and discouraged and downcast and everything because you think that you can't enjoy anything in life, you don't have the joy of the Lord that He talks about there. He says that I have given you my joy. That means we are bound by the lies of the devil. There are many, many scriptures that promise us many wonderful things. I think of one that I use a lot is 2 Timothy 1:7. It says, "For He hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind." The interesting thing is, and in Revelation we talk about the children of God will be sealed in their foreheads. I believe that to be figurative. I don't think there's an angel is going to come and go on your forehead and you'll have this symbol on there. Not in the physical world. Maybe in the spiritual world, yes, but not in the physical world. What that is a symbol of is that is a symbol of us protecting our mind. We really need to be careful of what goes in there, because that mind is directly connected to our heart. And what happens in our heart will show on our outside. We get people saying, "Oh, you can't judge me for the way I look." And to a degree, I believe that, but that's not what the scriptures say. The scriptures say, "By their fruits shall you know them." So tell me, especially as a church leader, if I'm not supposed to judge by what I see and hear, well, what else can I do? I didn't get the privilege to open up your heart and look in there. And if I did, all I would see was the last few squirts of blood before your death. But that the reason that we all look different is because God has made each one of us unique, and God wants a relationship with each one of us individually. God has a unique purpose for each one of us. God has a purpose for David Wheeler, and it's a different purpose than for Kenton Platt. But that doesn't mean that those purposes are going to be against each other. They're going to work together in unison for God's glory. But what can get in the way of that is Kenton and David's personal preferences. I didn't mean to pick on you, brothers. You were the two I saw there. So, There's just one more thing I quickly want to do here before I close. And if it's been a very confusing morning, I apologize. I went totally off script. But one thing that I've done in the scriptures, and if you're in my cell group, I say this a lot. Make the scriptures personal. And like Brother Pete said, you know, we say a lot of these things. Is God really that big? Yeah, of course he is, but not for me. Okay? One thing that I'm really blessed with, I'm going to read in John 17 here, I'm going to read 21 to 26. And this is something that's very uncomfortable to me. It's something I do often, but it's going to be uncomfortable for me to do it here in this setting. But I'm going to do it just so you can see, and I want you to try it yourself. I want you to take scriptures, and I want you to put your names in there. Because the scripture is not written for Jesus' sake. It's written for our sake. So John 17:21. That Henry may be one as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that Henry also may be in us, that the word may believe, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. That's very empowering to me. That the world may believe. The world's going to look at me and see Jesus. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given Henry, that Henry may be one, even as we are one. I and Henry, thou and me, that Henry may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved Henry as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that Henry also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that Henry may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and Henry has known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto Henry thy name, and I will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in Henry, and I in Henry. Am I worthy of that? Absolutely not, but that doesn't change the fact that that was God's choice. I can accept it, and it will be very inspiring, empowering, not for me to live my life the way I want to live it, but for me to live my life in a way that when people look at me, they see Jesus. That when I have when I run my business, and if you're an employee, that when your employer and when my customers, when they look at us, they see Jesus. They see something different. Jesus said, I pray for these. I do not pray for the world. There's a distinction. And in our lives, there needs to be a distinction between us and the world. In every aspect of our life. Not just the obvious ones, but also the hidden ones. And in closing here, 2 Timothy here says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. If you leave here this morning and you say, Henry said that works weren't important, whatever you may deem that word to mean, then you're that person that's looking at that line. We're all here for a purpose. We're here to do God's work. We're not here to necessarily indulge and live for ourselves. But we're here for Christ's work. And that's going to be different for each one of us. Let's just make sure that we have open hearts for God to be able to do those things in us. And that's all I have here this morning. Isaac, I'm going to give the rest of the time over to you.